content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, October 6th, through Sunday, October 12th, 2025. The commentary for October was written by Amy Morehouse, an Episcopal priest, spiritual director, mental health advocate, fiber artist, and a native East Tennessean. The commentary for Monday, October 6th, begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 17. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. And it is on this day, October 6th, that we pay tribute to William Tyndale. William Tyndale was the first translator of the Bible into English. His New Testament was printed in 1526 and then smuggled into England. Tyndale believed that people should be able to read Scripture for themselves. That belief put his life in danger. After he was put to death, the Bible was finally published in English and distributed to parishes. Six copies were set up in St. Paul's Church, and people stood in line to be able to read from it. It seems strange to us now that reading Scripture in our own language was once a criminal act. Scripture, read and studied together, unites us in faith, just as sharing the one bread of Christ in communion unites us, one to another. How are we honoring the gift of Scripture in our lives today? Now I'm going to read the full passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, through chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices partners in the altar? What do I imply then? That food sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be partners with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or we are provoking the Lord to jealousy. Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Do not seek your own advantage, but that of the other. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience, for the earth and its fullness are the Lord's. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it out of consideration for the one who informed you, and for the sake of conscience. I mean the other's conscience, not your own. For why should my liberty be subject to the judgment of someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why should I be denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the Church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, so that they may be saved. And the moving forward statement for this day and suggestion is read a portion of today's readings aloud and wonder what would it be like to hear them in your own language for the very first time. The commentary for Tuesday, October 7th, begins with a passage from Psalm 121, verse 8. The Lord shall watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? The lyrical beginning of Psalm 121 has comforted many people in all kinds of situations, in illness, imprisonment, grief, or times of tumult. It's commonly read at funerals, and for good reason. In those most challenging times in life, it can be easy to forget that God is with us. Has there been a time in life when you felt abandoned, or as if God were somehow absent? St. John of the Cross called those the dark nights of the soul, and acknowledged that those times come to all, even people of faith. Psalm 121 reminds us that God is ever-present and ever-loving, and is not bound by time, space, or circumstance. The God who loved us into being keeps watch with us in those dark nights. God never slumbers or sleeps. Thanks be to God for the mercy of His presence with us always. And now I'm going to read all of Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade and your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, how does God comfort you when you need it the most? The commentary for Wednesday, October 8th, begins with a passage from the second book of Kings, chapter 23, verse 3a. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord with all his heart and all his soul. The prophetess Huldah is not someone we hear much about. Her story in 2 Kings is one of speaking bravely to people in power. On hearing her words, King Josiah leads the people of Israel in an act of public repentance. They turn from the following after what is hollow and back toward the God who created and loves them. In order to know where we sometimes fall short, we must be willing to hear that we have broken a relationship. King Josiah hears that he and his people have fallen short of their promises to God. How painful that must have been, and how brave those hearing it must have been to respond as they did. We may be called to be brave in speaking, but we are also called to be brave in hearing, so that we may turn and follow God, not only in word, but in deed. And now I'm going to read from the passage of 2 Kings, chapter 22, verse 14, through chapter 23, verse 3. So the priest Hilkiah, Akikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Azariah went to the prophetess Huldah, the wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She resided in Jerusalem in the second quarter, where they consulted her. She declared to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, I will indeed bring disaster on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read. Because they have abandoned me and have made offerings to other gods, so that they have provoked me to anger with all the work of their hands, therefore my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. But as to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and because you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Therefore I will gather you to your ancestors, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring on this place." They took the message back to the king. Then the king directed that all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem should be gathered to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord, and with him went all the people of Judah, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, keeping his commandments, his decrees, and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. All the people joined in the covenant. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, where might you need to be brave in hearing those around you today? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, October 9th. It begins with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Bishop Robert Grosseteste was a man of diverse interests. He was recognized by his 13th century peers as a scholar of poetry, music, architecture, mathematics, astronomy, optics, and physics. He also was a bishop who believed one of the roles of the church was to tend to the people. Even as a man of deep and broad learning, he knew that care for each other is one of the most important roles of followers of Christ. As the church in Corinth hears, we are not given gifts so that we may keep them only for ourselves. We are to share them with those all around us. We each have our own manifestations of the Spirit, no matter where we are or our life circumstances. Every day, we may choose how we use them for the good of all we meet and all who come after us. And now I'm going to read the full passage from 1 Corinthians here, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. And the moving forward question for today, what gifts would God have you share with others today? The commentary for Friday, October 10th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 28b. The blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Even knowing that Jesus had done miraculous healings, what an act of faith for the two blind men in today's gospel to follow Jesus. Calling loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David," they ask for Jesus' attention and hope desperately for healing. We have all known someone who deeply desired healing from something, an illness, perhaps, or a difficult life circumstance. They might have even prayed fervently for it, only to find that the results were not as they hoped. Continuing to pray and hope for healing can sometimes be hard, whether for ourselves or someone we love. Just because our circumstances do not change does not mean that God does not hear us or that our faith is insufficient. A return to wholeness might look different than we might imagine. God gives us the prayers for when healing is a distant hope and sustains and strengthens us always. Now I'm going to read the full passage from Matthew 9, verses 27 through 34. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were opened. Then Jesus sternly ordered them, "See that no one knows of this." But they went away and spread the news about him throughout that district. After they had gone away, a demoniac who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the one who had been mute spoke. And the crowds were amazed and said, "Never has anything like this been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "By the ruler of the demons, he casts out the demons." And the moving forward question for this Friday is, what healing words might God be whispering to you on this day? Now the commentary for Saturday, October 11th, the day that we commemorate St. Philip. It begins with a passage from Matthew 9, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is traveling about, teaching and healing, and his eyes are open to those who come to hear him. He sees those who gather around him and feels the suffering of the people. Had he chosen, Jesus could have healed and fed everyone. Why didn't he? I believe this is because each of us still has a part to play in the kingdom of God. We are called to serve as followers of and witnesses for Jesus. Part of our healing and growth in discipleship is learning to see, hear, and tend to those around us, to see one another as Jesus sees them, as people in need of compassion and hope. Philip, one of the first deacons, was called because those in need were not receiving the attention they needed. Like Philip, we are all called to tend to the least, the lonely, and the lost. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Matthew, chapter 9, verses 35 through chapter 10, verse 4. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. And the moving forward question for this Saturday, October 11th, is, where do you see the harassed and helpless? How are you called to serve them as Jesus did? Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of this week, let's turn to Sunday, October 12th, the day on which we commemorate the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. It begins with a passage from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9b. But the word of God is not chained. What chains are binding you this Sunday? Paul is writing in prison, and the chains he's describing are not metaphorical, but very real. However, Paul does not let his circumstances limit him. He is willing to continue doing what he can. No matter his circumstances, he may no longer be able to travel, but he can still write and offer encouragement to others. We can feel limited by many things, our education level, opportunities, income, or life circumstances. But what if we took the time to remember that just as the Word of God is not changed, neither are we. We still have opportunities every day to be witnesses to God's love, even from a hospital bed or a prison cell, from our own homes and in our own communities. God's Word cannot be constrained, and neither can God's love. Thanks be to God for the new opportunity every day to share that love in the name of Jesus Christ. And now I'm going to read the full passage from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we have also lived with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of the truth. Avoid profane chatter, for it will lead people into more and more impiety, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth by claiming that the resurrection has already taken place. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this inscription: "The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who calls on the name of the Lord turn away from wickedness." In a large house there are utensils, not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for special use, some for ordinary. All who cleanse themselves of the things I have mentioned will become special utensils, dedicated and useful to the owner of the house, ready for every good work. Shun youthful passions and pursue righteous faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with stupid and senseless controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kindly to everyone, an apt teacher, patient, correcting opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, and that they may escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. And the moving forward statement and suggestion for this Sunday: God, show us how to love as you would have us love. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you're hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Goodbye until next time.